Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
All right, here we go on a Friday, a Red Friday. Does this count, Bank?
It counts.
It's definitely a Red Friday.
What the hell else is it going to be, you know?
Cody's not here, so I have to bounce it off of somebody. It does count as a Red Friday because it's the last weekday that's not a game day before the game. Therefore, today is a Red Friday in Kansas City. Drew's wearing red. Look at that. Drew is turning the corner as a Chiefs fan now. He's actually wearing red. Bink's wearing black. I don't know if there's something going on or not.
I do have a Chiefs hat on.
You do. You do have the Chiefs hat, so I think that qualifies.
And I'm wearing,
but Drew's rocking red on a Red Friday.
I'm wearing Chiefs underwear.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not going to show you that, but
yeah, please don't. Yes. Please don't.
But I'm wearing,
as you guys can hear, Bink is in for
you.
Cody again
yep.
today.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was a hell of a day. We're going to have another hell of a show today for the next 4 hours. It's also a fan club Friday at 1 o'clock. I believe Rob Brennan from The Drive is going to stop by. Maybe the boss will stop by as well. We'll see. We'll have a couple drinks heading into the weekend. You guys can always interact with us.
Jay Southwind. I wasn't fired.
Social Service text line. You were not fired yet.
Close.
913-586-7965. They won't fire you on a Friday, so you've made it through, Bank.
Actually, Friday is the popular firing day.
No, we've talked about this on air. We've been given notice from our boss that the company policy, they will not fire you on a Friday.
I've seen it, though. They've changed it, but I've seen it plenty of times.
Yeah, usually that's the case. But nope, it would have had it been yesterday, Bink.
And by the way, I'm going to turn a new leaf. Last night, I mean, I had some people reach out to me saying that, you know, it was kind of hard on Drew and things like that. And I did listen to a show last night. So I sat there last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, all right, say something nice about Drew today. And I sat there for hours thinking, what am I going to say? I couldn't think of anything. I tried, but I couldn't think of anything.
At least you tried, though. Right?
I did.
Thank you. I appreciate the effort. Mm-hmm.
I tried, man.
Yeah, Drew was hosting After Hours last night. We'll get to something that was said yesterday later on this hour.
That was a great show, by the way. Good job, Drew.
You caught some of that. Drew was hosting solo last night here on 96.5 The Fan, talking all things Chiefs, and he's wearing red today. I mean, now, look, we're making progress.
I mean, on the text line, Chiefs fan before I know it. Like, look, I think having moved here, I have a lot more respect.
There you go.
For the organization, a lot more than a lot of other people who are other fans of other teams.
Being Kansas City-ized is what this town does. Like, you spend enough time here, you start like liking the people. You understand the culture of sports in this town. You already like the Royals. I know this. You like the Curry.
He doesn't
like
have
all these
a baseball
teams.
Team, so he might as well.
He doesn't. And here's the thing. As far as the Chiefs are concerned, they're going to grow on him because that's just what happens. I say within a year, like, he's rocking a Mahomes jersey. Honestly, he really is.
Who'd go Bengals?
Drew, that's nonsense, and you know it. But you're becoming Kansas City-ized. Like, you really are. Like, right in front of eyes.
Aren't you tired of losing? Aren't you tired of supporting a loser? That's why.
I've done it my whole life, so why stop now?
Yeah, you're still not even 30. There's plenty of time to switch.
Yeah, I know.
There's plenty of time to jump on the bandwagon, man. There's plenty. Plenty of time to do that. We will talk about, obviously, the AFC to start the show today. Because last night, Thursday Night Football, Texans lose to the Jets. Texans
go
there. We definitely did call that one. I'll be honest.
I
definitely enjoyed that result last night, if I say so myself. But
we say you listen to your betting show. They need to listen to it because you'll make them money.
If you listen to that betting show, if you listen to my segment with Dusty and Fesco on Thursday, yesterday morning, then you know my thoughts on last night's game. And so, yes, I was very happy with the result. But let's talk about the implications for the Chiefs, because it was great for Kansas City. Another reason why you should have been rooting for the Jets is because I think this one-seed race is down to two teams, just like that. I think it's the Chiefs and it's the Bills. I understand the Steelers are leading the AFC North. I just think when we talk about what it's going to take to be a number one seed this year, I think it's going to take 14 wins. And do you guys honestly believe the Steelers can get to 14 wins? Their schedule toughens up. I just don't. And now you take a look at a Texans team that has three losses that is honestly just not playing good football. They'll get Nico Collins here soon back from the IR. But that team has problems. You know, like, it's one thing for us to pinpoint stuff on the Chiefs, but they're winning games while doing it. They also do have a track record of figuring it out. I don't know if DeMeco Ryans and C.J. Stroud figure this thing out. Their offensive line can't protect them. That's leading to bad quarterback play. They don't have receivers healthy right now. They just lost to the Jets last night. This is a Texans team that, to me, is in a bad spot suddenly. I don't think they have shown us that they are a legit contender. And coming into the season, I thought they were. To this point, I haven't seen anything that suggests that that's where they're at. C.J. Stroud, I don't want to say he's overrated. That's silly. But he's regressed a little bit because things have gotten tougher for him, and we haven't seen him make the big adjustment yet. I'm not saying he can't do that in his career, but we haven't seen him, when he's facing more adversity like he is now, elevate his game. And that's what the great ones do, and he hasn't done that. And if you take a look at just the simple win losses and what's ahead, the Chiefs get the Bills and Texans head-to-head, but from a loss column standpoint, I don't see anybody but the Chiefs or Bills being the number one seed when this thing is done. And even the odds that are out there would tell you that's the case. The Chiefs are -340 bank to be a number one seed. The Bills are +550. Texans are all the way down to 16-1 to be the one seed. And the Ravens are 20-1.
And the good thing about it is the Chiefs have a chance to put the nail in the coffin, several teams. Going to Buffalo is going to be tough. I mean, that is the toughest game, in my opinion, on the schedule left for the Chiefs, because we know the Bills get up for these games in the regular season, not the postseason, as we know, but the regular season, they get up for this game. And the Chiefs are in the back of their heads, man. That in the Texans game, Chiefs can put that nail in the coffin. Yeah, but you look at this AFC, and I'm with you, because can you really theoretically find a way for the Chiefs to lose four games this year? I mean, I think that's a stretch of imagination, and I do think Andy Reid will rest players at the end of the year. That's why being undefeated is going to be so tough if that's what happens.
Oh, if they're undefeated, I don't think he'll rest.
He values the rest more than anything. But look at the Ravens. You know, everybody's All-Americans. Mm-hmm. They are four games behind the Chiefs, and we're talking a 17-game NFL schedule, and that is incredibly tough to make that up, especially with the Chiefs' schedule going forward. Three losses in the loss column, plus the head-to-head. They're theoretically four games ahead of the Ravens. The Texans, yeah, they're 6-3. They're playing better because I've seen so many teams be good, then all of a sudden be bad. Remember Blake Bortles and the Jags? Thought, okay, this team's going to take some steps. They make it to the AFC title game, boom, they fell apart. And then they had to rebuild. Then Doug Peterson comes in, wins the playoff game. Boom, they've taken a step back. Can DeMeco Ryans, and I always thought he could be that guy going forward, but
I still think he is.
I do too. I like DeMeco Ryans when it is defensively, especially. And he's been dealing with the wide receiver injuries. But the one thing about the Chiefs that we got to respect is, and they won't respect us nationally, they find a way to win with less. And good teams find a way to win with less. Like C.J. Stroud going out there last night without Nico Collins, without Stephon Diggs. This is Mahomes' problems every week. And you have to elevate that talent and find a way to win the game. And that's one thing the Chiefs have been able to do is keep things within one score. As I mentioned to you guys beforehand, Mahomes only lost four games in his career by more than one score, which is an incredible. But to take those guys and find a way to win, or have your coach say, okay, I'm going to scheme and put 14 personnel. I'm going to throw Jody Forts in here off the scrap heap so I can have four tight ends in a game. I know he's hurt, and I'm expecting Peyton Hendershot coming up, to be honest with you. But finding a way to win with less, and I haven't seen other guys. It's been a detriment to other quarterbacks. Mahomes, yeah, we want him to have the best, but he's finding a way to win with less. And we're waiting for C.J. Stroud and these guys to say, okay, yeah, I understand your receivers are hurt. That's fine. Well, everybody has these problems.
Yeah, we'll see what the adjustment is for him. Also, I think the Jets have his number. He's played them twice. Last year, they got blown out by the Jets, and he was sacked four times and didn't have good numbers last night. We saw how that played out. Once again, he wasn't protected by his offensive line. They struggled to move the football. So some of it is, hey, the Jets kind of have his number. The other part is, with the half the season to go, what's the adjustment that the Texans make to show that they're that kind of team? Otherwise, it's going to be viewed as a disappointing season down in Houston, where a lot of people thought that they were ready to take that next step. To this point, they haven't. As far as the Chiefs, and you were right, just kind of doing the math on the Ravens, you know, do you think, are the Ravens going to actually win out? Are the Chiefs going to lose four of the remaining 10? That's why the Ravens are out of the picture. The Texans aren't to that extent. They're not four back, but it basically means, depending on what the Chiefs do the next month, the Texans-Chiefs game head-to-head is almost an automatic must-win for the Texans in that spot. depending on what the Chiefs' record, and it may not even matter at that point if the Chiefs are still undefeated. It doesn't matter what happens head-to-head. I just don't think the Texans are going to get there, so it's a two-horse race. We know the Chiefs have the Bucs, the Broncos, then at Buffalo, at Carolina, home against the Raiders, Chargers, at Cleveland, and then it's that stretch, home against Texans, at Pittsburgh, and at Denver to wrap up the season. But last night was a great result if you're a Chiefs fan. I mean, even if the Jets get hot for a little bit and you want to walk through that scenario of them somehow sneaking in, nobody's fearful of the New York Jets at all. Even if they find a way to sneak into 9 or 10 wins and rattle off a bunch, which I'm not so sure they're going to do. They're still a 3-6 football team that just beat a Texans team that's not playing good football right now.
But everybody likes it. Same. What happened is what we talked about. They get false hope. Like, give the Jets false hope, because they were. I mean, they were celebrating on the field. Oh, my God, look at us. We win. They're 3-6. People are talking about it nationally. Like, people actually waste their breath on the Jets talking about them going forward. Well, can they turn their season around now? They're 3-6. Can they do that? That's just the statement of where we are in the NFL when everybody's craving anything New York. To be honest with you, I'm sick of New York teams being in prime time.
Oh, I love this week, though, for them. The Giants suck. The Yankees lost in the World Series. The Jets finally won a football game.
I know, I'm tired of watching them all the time. By the way, you get to see the Giants on Thanksgiving. That's going to ruin your day. That and the Cowboys game, that's terrible. The Cowboys, I'm just tired of watching New York teams, but this is what you want to happen. You want them to have that false hope. You want them to keep Devontae Adams. You don't want them trading off other pieces that go to a contender. That was my big thing. Like, you want to see the Jets hold on to these guys and not jettison them, no pun intended, to other teams that could help them, you know, fortify their roster. You want to see them keep winning. It was like the Rams when they won last week. You know, I wanted to see that. I wanted to see the Rams win because I wanted to see Cooper Kupp remain in L.A. Like, I didn't want to see him with another team. And you're sitting there watching it going, why would they trade anybody? They're technically still in the race. Keep him there. Like, I want to keep players on teams because you look at the big picture. I know we have the trade deadline coming up here on the 5th, but keep players on their teams, not helping other teams out, which I think is great. So, yeah, I root for the teams to make themselves think they have a chance so they hold on to their talent.
Suddenly, also in the AFC South, now it requires the Colts to get going. They now have Joe Flacco starting, not Anthony Richardson, which is an upgrade. The Colts have a really tough game on Sunday Night Football against the Vikings. Are we sure the Texans are just going to run away with the AFC South all of a sudden? So they're 6-3. We just talked about them. The Colts are 4-4. Really tough game against the Vikes on Sunday. So they could fall to 4-5. All right, the Jags are 2-6. Titans are 1-6. But could the Colts make this thing interesting in the AFC South all of a sudden? I believe the Colts will end up being a playoff team. I didn't predict them to win the division, but if the Texans are going to continue having problems like this, they can't win away from home. They're undefeated at home, the Texans are, but they're 2-3 on the road already this season, including last night's loss. So I think the Colts have an opportunity. If they were to upset the Vikings on Sunday, then suddenly we're talking about the Colts having a real chance in that division. The problem for the Colts is they can't have a tiebreaker. They've already lost, I believe, both games. I think they've already played the Texans twice. I know they lost one. Maybe they only played once. But
the crucial thing is two of the worst teams in the AFC are in their division. Yeah, I mean, having Jacksonville and Tennessee in your division is perfect.
The Colts lost in week one, and they just lost this past week. So the Colts have to finish with a better record than the Texans.
And maybe you say, well, with Joe Flacco, that actually is a possibility. I mean, there's still obviously a lot of
much better chance with Joe Flacco than Anthony Richardson. That's for sure. Thinking of some of the standings and where things are looking, there's one thing that could end up making the Chiefs' current run more impressive, and I'm not talking about three-peating. How about their divisional streak? We know they're getting closer and closer to that AFC East streak that the Patriots had, and the big knock on that has always been, like, look how pathetic that division has been out in AFC East. We know the AFC West has not been good the last couple of years. This year, I still don't think any of the teams are all that great, but right now, there would be two other teams from the AFC West in the postseason if it ended today. The Broncos and the Chargers, of course, would be those two teams. Deep down, I think the Broncos will end up missing out. Their schedule gets really tough. I think the Chargers have a real chance of sneaking in. I think the wild cards could be the Ravens, Chargers, and Colts when this thing is done. But if another AFC West team gets in, and surely if three somehow got in, doesn't that make what would be a ninth straight divisional title even more impressive?
It would, because that's kind of been the knock the last couple of years. Well, look at that division. There's nobody else in there. So what? They're still winning it. I mean, the Patriots had to deal with this when the Bills were down and the Dolphins and all that. I think it gives credence because, say, there was three playoff teams from that AFC West. Andy Reid dominates the AFC West with Patrick Mahomes at 23-5 with him at quarterback. the most unreal thing is Mahomes 19-1 on the road in the division. Already has two of those road division wins this year, which is absolutely insane. But I think it does give credence to the Chiefs if two other teams from the AFC West make the playoffs, because I think the Chargers are the only ones that are building something. I mean, I would say Denver, that's defense. It's not about Sean Payton. Like, that's not about, that defense is not about Sean Payton whatsoever. It's about Vance Joseph. He's having the time of his life.
He really is.
But, like, Bo Nix, I'm not sold on. I know he's having, you know, he's having a good year and he's playing well. That's fine. But I'm not a firm believer in that because I want to see you back it up. That's the toughest thing to do in sports is back it up. And CJ Stroud's finding out this year. He was so good last year. He came in as one of the contenders for MVP. Everybody's talking about it. But it is tough to back it up year in and year out. And there's just been few quarterbacks that have been able to do that. Mahomes, Allen, Lamar Jackson. Even Lamar Jackson had his down moments in Baltimore. But it definitely gives credence having both those teams. And it just shows you the Raiders. If you're the Raiders, you're sitting back here going, gosh, man, three teams from our division made the playoffs and we're not even close to even sniffing the playoffs.
I mean, yeah, they're so far away.
That's an indictment on that team. And I know they brought Tom Brady in. He owns 5%. His group owns 10%. Big deal. It's not much. But they want him to be instrumental, you know, in building that team. But it's tough to do.
I think, I mean, that's overblown, though.
It's, like, it's tough for the greats to be good at coaching or in the front office. Well, it just is. Because everything came easy to them.
There's some cases where it's worked out. I think John Lynch is a pretty good general manager in San Francisco. But we know John Elway, of course, really struggled in Denver evaluating.
Peyton Manning was his biggest hit. I mean, that was his big moment.
Yeah, but that wasn't evaluating talent. That was going and getting a future Hall of Famer to come
being
play
John
for
Elway
one
and
year.
Freaking convincing someone to come because you're John Elway.
But Tom Brady's not. There is no Peyton Manning for Tom Brady to lure to Oakland or Las Vegas next year. The idea that Tom Brady's going to go find their quarterback of the future. Look, if they draft Shadur Sanders, or whatever, are we giving Tom Brady credit for that? That seems kind of crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I just, if they end up having one of the top picks and they draft a young quarterback, I mean, look at these quarterback classes the last year or so. We know CJ Stroud, despite him not playing well right this second, we know he was great. He looks like the real deal. Bryce Young, obviously not. Anthony Richardson just got benched. Like, Will Levis. Like, it's very tough. There's a lot of luck involved as well. A lot of luck.
It takes that, and there's really no hope on the horizon the next 2 years, unless you get a Shadur Sanders or a Cam Ward. And then you're just hoping they work out, because there's no guarantee they're going to work out. There's only so many duds in the NFL, and surely a guy like Tom knows that. And I've always looked at the Raiders like a board game. Like, you're playing it, and it says, go back to start. Because that's what they're doing. When you don't have a quarterback, you go back to start.
I think next year, and it won't be just the same offseason stuff that we've all rolled our eyes at about the Chargers in the past, where different publications would pick them to win the division. We'd be like, okay, we're really doing this again. I think next year they will once again, and there'll be a little bit of truth to it, depending on what they do in the offseason. To your point about Harbaugh having them head in the right direction, I think you will have people next year that will pick the Chargers once again to win the division. Like, this year, everybody kind of took a break and everybody realized they're not stopping the Chiefs.
It's still out there a little bit.
But I think next year is when you'll see that really flare back up.
Yeah, you saw it a little bit this year. What as much as the year before and the year before that as far as the Chargers being offseason champions. But I do think Harbaugh brings some legitimacy. And there's debate on that. And I like to bring that up on the football show that we're going to be doing the nightly summit, like these former Chiefs.
You having
like
wings Mitch, tonight, Bink? How many wings? Do you just eat wings throughout the entire show?
I found out they make a special Mountain Dew just for Buffalo Wild Wings, which is incredible.
So you go that and Mountain Dew during the football show tonight.
And then wings, yeah.
And then just boneless, bone in?
Yeah, Mitch and I find a way to bring wings. We eat them during the show, and then we find a way to bring them home as well. But that's one of the questions, like, who's a better coach in this division? But who's the second best coach in this division? We know it's Andy Reid's the best. Is it Sean Payton? Okay. Is it Jim Harbaugh?
No, it's Harbaugh. It's Harbaugh.
I'm with you. I mean,
Harbaugh.
Sean Payton's got the ring. Harbaugh doesn't, but Harbaugh does have a Super Bowl appearance and a national championship. And I do believe pairing him with Justin Herbert's the best thing that ever happened to his career.
If you're just asking, like, who would I rather have my head coach, Harbaugh or Payton? Yeah, it's Harbaugh. It's not even close. It's just not.
I mean, Payton's got a chance. His thing was that was not a great fit when he went to Denver, because Russell Wilson was there, and that was the big anchor on that team, and he was able to jettison that and build that team forward. But I don't know how much credit you can give him, because it's about that defense that has nothing to do with Sean Payton. But definitely Harbaugh over Brandon Staley makes a huge difference for the Chargers team. And you know what? There's a lot of people that are kind of, you got to be a bull in the ring like a Harbaugh to go out there, because there's not a ton of people wanting to jump into the AFC West knowing you're going to deal with Mahomes and Andy Reid. Like, that's kind of a detriment to a lot of people as far as this division is concerned, because it just is. And those guys really want their chance. But a guy like Harbaugh, he doesn't care. He's up for the challenge. Sean Payton, his ego's out of control. He thinks he can compete in this division. But it takes a special type, you know, to go into a situation where you're like, hey, we got to play Mahomes and Reed, and they're never going away. And as long as I'm going to be here, they're going to be there, which is a real problem. And that's kind of what the AFC West is seeing.
Coming up at 11 o'clock today, Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor from Chiefs on SI, going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the injury status with the news yesterday that Juju Smith-Schuster was not practicing, but Mike Dana back at practice. Plus, we'll ask him about the number one seed conversation when he joins us for his weekly visit at 11 o'clock.
Does that bother you about Juju? Because I will say this.
Which part?
Juju had the 7 for 130. Now people are really excited about that. I can't get
against
too
the Saints,
I can't get too excited about that because they kind of left him open.
Okay.
Like, if you go back and watch that film, like, he was left wide open a lot because they didn't respect his abilities. I mean, he's changed that. I mean, yeah, I keep hearing, oh, man, 7 for 130, he's back. And I was like, is he? Because, to me, the biggest play of the game was when that football goes out of his hands right into Colin Saunders. That was a 13-point swing in that game. That was. I don't care if he caught 7 for 130. I don't want you dropping a touchdown pass that's going to an interception that leads to 13 points. A 13-point swing for the other team. But he was left unguarded a lot in that game.
You asked me, though, does it make me mad that he's – what would I be mad about?
Are you buying into it? Are you buying into it, him being the savior and all that? Because I can't get excited about it yet. I just can't.
Well, I think they're better when he gets back and healthy, if that's what you're asking. Absolutely. You know, the 7 for 130, I don't think anybody in their right mind actually thought that that's what they should expect from him the rest of the season. That would be ludicrous. I think, though, he was running Rashee Wright's routes and underneath. Now with DeAndre Hopkins, the question I think I have is, what's that look like? You know, D-Hop and Juju on the field at the same time. How does Andy Reid integrate both of them? I'm excited about. But I think it's pretty clear the fact they did not put him on IR a week or so ago, Juju, means that they don't think he's going to miss the Buffalo game. So I think he's going to miss Monday Night Football against the Bucs, and he will be fresh and ready to roll for maybe the biggest game that they'll have in the entire season based off of what we just discussed with the seeding. At Buffalo in week 11, I guess that would be, right? Week 11. So yeah. I think they'll have him ready for the Bills game in a couple weeks.
It's huge. He's not on IR, I guess, because it shows kind of – because it would be easy to throw him on IR, bring up Nico, bring up Justin Ross, whatever, to the active role. That would be easy for them to do. They're just not doing it.
Well, it's obvious that Montrell Washington got called up before Justin Ross. One of them can play special teams, one can't. I think it was that simple with why Ross did not ultimately get
called up. Ross has been lingering around, man. He's got two Super Bowl rings on the practice squad. And Nico Remigio
You just said it, though. Clearly, we know how they feel about him. He's been on the practice squad for 2 years, Bink. All the love for those two guys, they can't get activated. It's
and I'm still holding out that he'll be activated this week. I still think there's a chance.
Yeah, I mean, if he could play special teams, he would have been activated last week. Do you disagree with that?
No, 100%.
Like, that's why he wasn't activated.
100%.
Anyway, yesterday you brought up Halloween. Hope everybody did have a good Halloween. Hopefully you're picking out on candy. Today's a good day if you didn't already. Just go to the store, you know, get that 75% off candy at Walmart.
The Christmas stuff's already out, man.
It's already out.
Go get the costume for next year, too.
Go ahead and get that cheap candy if you don't have any kids and you weren't able to steal some of their candy today. But yesterday you said you don't like Halloween. We don't want to rehash that entirely.
And I wasn't alone, by the way.
I want to ask you, though, if you saw the costume. Bill Belichick and his girlfriend, who's 24 years old, with an epic couples costume, which you were critical of. It's Bill Belichick in a fisherman's outfit, wide brim hat, heavy duty raincoat. He's got some jeans, got the boots. And what is he doing? He's reeling in his mermaid. She was wearing a scaled bottom. She was smiling. They were happy. They're laughing.
This is honestly pretty pathetic.
Why do you hate this? Good for Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick is, some would say, living his best life.
Yes, he is.
I mean, he's going to Taylor Swift concerts because his girlfriend's a Swiftie because she's, 23 years old, 24 years old?
Yeah,
I mean, that's going to last. I mean, that's going to last as long as Drew's. I mean, let's be honest. It's not going to last.
This again?
She's not going to go out with Bill Belichick. She's 23, unless she wants his money, which is clearly
her. Yeah, but he's living in the moment, though. You know, Belichick is 72 years old. Do you think he honestly believes that believes he's going to get married? He's not stupid.
I love Belichick and his analysis, but this is beyond ridiculous.
He's 50 years older. He's enjoying life, whether it lasts for another 3 months or another 3 years.
You see Andy Reid out there trusting like a clown? No.
Okay.
I never expected Andy Reid to go Bundarooski.
Belichick's single. He can do whatever the hell he wants. She knows what she's also involved in as well. It's like they're two adults. She knows exactly what's going on here. She knows he's 50 years older.
She was dressed
like
a freaking mermaid, and he was a fisherman. Come on.
I thought it was very funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was like, how far is this guy
falling? Are you jealous of Belichick?
No, I thought, how far is this guy falling? This guy was once one of the most respected.
How far is he falling?
He's out there on the beach with a mermaid.
It's his girlfriend.
Bink, I'll be honest.
I mean, it's almost as bad as Christian McCaffrey's a damn tin man. I'll be honest with you. And you know what? I wasn't alone either, by the way. These takes were all out there nationally. Even Joe Burrow saying, I don't play dress up. Your guy doesn't believe, even though he dresses up.
He does play dress up.
I think I know what he meant, but he phrased it in a way that he's not a costume guy.
Yeah.
Because he does very much so dress up.
Oh, remember that shirt he wore in like France at that big fashion show?
He dresses up plenty. Text line 913-586-7965 said Bill and his girlfriend have a lot in common. Bink, she's hip.
Yeah,
he needs a hip.
That's old enough to be his granddaughter.
There was somebody yesterday.
Pretty sick,
Bink,
to be honest with you.
I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but the person who called you out, who was supporting me, said. Quote, you were talking to my best friend forever on a dating app.
Yeah.
That is now over.
Ooh.
Because you were being mean.
Oh,
to
my
me.
God. That's over?
You got called out on
you
the text line.
Out.
From
you
were talking to somebody on
she's
a dating app.
It's over, man. It's not over. How do you know what she's doing? She might be texting me late at night. You have no idea. You think it's over, but here's the thing. I don't care. I don't care that it's over. I'll move on to the next.
Oh, God.
I will. I have nothing to lose. I don't care, man. She's gone. See, that doesn't hurt my feelings, by the way. It honestly doesn't.
There's a lot of hate in your blood today and yesterday.
There's a lot
of animosity, I feel like, out there to the world.
There was some more added to it yesterday, but no, I'm actually in a very good mood. It's going to be a great weekend. I love when the Chiefs don't have a game because then you sit back and just dive in the red zone. And enjoy. I love it, man. Absolutely love it. Drew will join me to talk some college football Sunday, maybe.
I'll be there. Do you know which lady you're talking to that this texter might be referencing from yesterday where they called you out and said you're talking to their friend?
I have no idea. I think she's making it up, to be honest with you, because I'm not like talking to anybody.
Yeah, I don't know if it was currently. I think it was recently.
Oh. She said it's over. It's over now. Whoo! Hey, don't do that to me.
Someone said if you need a fireball shot, Bank, though, they'll bring one by for you.
Fan Club Friday, 1 o'clock hour today.
Yeah, do a shot.
Better make sure we have some cold beverages.
Mm.
Do we need one earlier?
What are we drinking today?
There's some beer in the fridge. We'll surprise you.
It could be anything, man.
No, I said there's some beer in the fridge. I'll surprise you.
There's some beer in the fridge. By the way, speaking of beer.
Oh, gosh. Yep. We got a break. Go ahead.
Well, last night I finished off my last two Oktoberfest.
Oh,
I still had, because I'd like to save just a little bit just for the last day of.
You won't drink one in November?
No, hell no. Oh. I'm on the winter beer now. I've even checked out some liquor stores and their apps and everything. I need my winter lager, Sam Adams, Mother's Winter Grind, need it, the Boulevard Nutcracker Ale. Love it. I love winter beers. I have switched. I'm like that. I'm not hip when it comes to clothes or anything else, but damn it, I know my beer.
Up next, we'll learn more about that. Plus, the Colts did what during the...
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Draft just getting started here on a Red Friday in Kansas City. It's Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon producing the show. Jay Binkley with me. He's filling in for Cody today. I believe the video stream is going to be back up and running now or momentarily. So
yeah,
for those of you asking,
football show tonight. Lee Summit, if anybody wants to go talk some serious football, because we geek out. You know what they say to me? Yeah. Just be geeky, man, which is great because that's like perfect. You don't be entertaining or nothing. Just stick with hardcore football. Mitch Schwartz, Damon Hughes out there with me. It's all going to be about football. And Dusty's going to make an appearance.
There you go. That's coming up tonight.
Lee Summit.
Are you going to make it today? We got 3.5 more hours to go. Your blood pressure is way up already this morning. Someone offered to bring by our friends over at Sazerac.
Plus 450, I'll die between.
To bring by a Fireball Party Bucket. So that'll be brought by before Fan Club today. So I don't know if you need to take a Fireball shot before the Fan Club or you want to wait till Fan Club. That's
can I slay my beer instead?
You can do whatever you want, Bank. You can do whatever you want. I want to talk a little bit, though, about what happened a few months back, actually. And this was a story that I don't think any of us had heard until yesterday on the Rich Eisen show. Xavier Worthy was talking to Rich Eisen, and he brought up a scenario. We all know the Chiefs traded up with the Bills to go draft Xavier Worthy. Well, it turns out there was another phone call that happened. Listen to this.
Really, the draft day was crazy. I had got a call at like 15, 16, I think it was the Colts, hung up the phone in my face. It was a little crazy. But
What happened?
The Colts called my phone on draft day and hung up the phone.
You said hello, and then that was a click? There was a click?
They said, hello, this is so-and-so with the Colts, and then for the call, like they stopped talking, and they hung up.
Wow.
So they did. Are you sure there wasn't like a disconnection? Or?
In the night going on, end up getting a call from the Chiefs when they traded with Buffalo. I really originally didn't know they traded with Buffalo. So when it was on the clock, I'm seeing the call. I'm like, oh, this is Buffalo. And then I look at the thing and said, KC. I'm like, okay, this is Chiefs. All right, exactly where I want to be.
So look, the Colts, all three teams mentioned all got wide receivers anyway, fairly early in the draft. We know the Chiefs get Worthy. They trade up. The Colts eventually get A.D. Mitchell out of Texas, who was a name that we discuss in the draft process here. We know the Bills get Keon Coleman, was another name we discussed here. And in all three to this point in time, if you go through A.D. Mitchell, his quarterback situation, you look at Keon Coleman, who's now starting to play better. Worthy, of course, had the great week one opening game. Other than that, like none of the three have exploded and had amazing rookie years to any extent. But the fact that the Colts, you buying that? Like the Colts just hung up the phone? You think they screwed up and called the wrong person?
He was so micro-focused on being a Chief. I mean, that's really the place he wanted to be. Maybe the Colts called an accident. Like, I'm sure they have all, Ballard's got all these phone numbers from
the
draft.
You can't say, hey, man, we didn't mean to call you. You just hang up?
You know how things go. You accidentally call somebody, just hang it up because you didn't mean to call
them. But this is a different scenario than I'm accidentally calling a random person. You know, you're actually calling another. The only way you're calling that number is that you know it's an NFL draft prospect.
I can get him a little credit. Maybe they mixed the numbers up, thinking it was somebody else's or whatever, because it's just so untypical of NFL teams doing something like that. Maybe they had A.D. Mitchell's number with Xavier Worthy's right next to each other because they both played at Texas. Maybe they just got confused on it.
Well, who they drafted at 15 was not a wide receiver. It was the Latu kid or whatever. Latu,
from UCLA.
Or whatever, from UCLA at 15. Then in round two, at pick 52, they took Adonai Mitchell.
Which is a steal that they got there. But maybe they looked at the Longhorns and said, you know, Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell. A lot of people thought Xavier Worthy could slide to the second round. Many people thought A.D. Mitchell would be a first rounder. So they were probably.
Yeah, but for those saying they called the wrong Longhorn again. I would buy into that if I would buy into that.
Never called the wrong Longhorn.
No, I never had that happen. I would buy into that if it wasn't for the fact that at 15 they didn't take any wide receiver. They took a lineman. So and they didn't take A.D. Mitchell till much later. So if they were trying to call, if they're trying to call A.D. Mitchell at 15, it doesn't make any sense. They didn't draft him at 15.
No, they didn't. Again, I think it was a mix-up. To be as fun as the story as it sounds, like, oh, my God, they hung up on Xavier Worthy. Like, deep down, it's really not what NFL teams do. I honestly think they got confused and have all these numbers.
Xavier Worthy said he didn't think it was an accident, though. He didn't think it was a mess-up. That's what he said.
Well,
because Rich asked him.
He really wanted to be a Chief. I get that.
Well, but sure. But
we accidentally call people all the time.
To me, though, the thing that my take last night was, how incompetent is the rest of the league? Because the Chiefs, they cross the T's and they dot their I's.
They drafted Anthony Richardson. That's how incompetent they are.
The Colts have this problem. They have the Anthony Richardson problem. Nick Sirianni's calling out the fans. The Bengals don't want to pay anybody. The Bills keep on making mistakes, whether it be in the game or off the field, and making trades. Everybody wants to help the Chiefs out. Joshua Uche is on the Chiefs now thanks to the Patriots. The Tennessee Titans want to help the Chiefs out as well. It is amazing how the rest of the league is just they always find a way to mess things up where the Chiefs are just in that straight and narrow, and they know what they want, they know what they're doing, and they don't mess around.
But here's the thing, they don't think they're messing the Chiefs up. They actually, they don't see that. Their talent evaluation is not that great.
So, like, the Titans trained DeAndre Hopkins to the Chiefs. No, they're trying to help the Chiefs. They view that trade
helps. I know.
They obviously helps them. But to your point, Drew, the Chiefs are a well-run organization with competent people. There are organizations in the NFL that do not have the right people in the right place, clearly, that make bad decision after bad decision. And when the Chiefs have everything from the ownership level down to the front office, and I'm not just talking about Brett Veach, I'm talking about the cap experts around them, some they've lost over the last year or so, some that are still there. I'm talking about Andy Reid, obviously, down to Steve Spagnuolo, down to Dave Merritt, etc. Like, they have all the right people in place.
Yeah.
And so when you're competent and well-run and you're winning, one, other players, you know, I think people buy into your organization a hell of a lot easier. So when you bring in a new free agent or you draft somebody, the effort level and everything you're getting, and is the guy going to be upset if I'm in Tennessee, like Calvin Ridley, I'm not getting the ball thrown to me because I'm also on a team that's not winning? If I'm in Kansas City, maybe deep down I'm upset I'm not getting the ball, but my team's winning and I know they know what they're doing, and I know they're going to, I quote unquote, trust the process. Like, that kind of stuff you can buy into in Kansas City. If I'm on a team that has two wins, you're probably not trusting, like, no disrespect to Dave Canales, but if I'm a player there in Carolina, I don't believe that you know what you're doing yet because you haven't done anything in the league yet. I know Andy Reid knows what the hell he's doing, so I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to listen to everybody involved in the process.
The Chiefs will get to that point with Belichick. Remember how frustrating it used to be when team, you're like, why are you doing business with the Patriots? People did. Mm-hmm. Like, Chiefs didn't. You know, they stayed back on that. And again, I'll go to it. If they would have called for a left tackle like Eric Fisher, they would have never done it because the Chiefs had them in their bullseye to beat them. But so many teams don't mind help. Listen, Legarius Sneed went to the Titans. Chiefs have had a good relationship mm-hmm. with that team. I think a lot of times teams don't think when they make a move with the Chiefs, because when they get here to Kansas City, they revitalize themselves. Like, the Chiefs find a way to bring the best out of them. Yeah. And I think it surprises some teams that they're able to do it. Like, the Bills thought they were the smartest guy in the room getting Coleman, because they thought deep down Keon Coleman could help them, which is crazy to me because you're getting 4 years and not getting that fifth-year option, which is crazy to me why the Bills didn't stay where they were to
and
get
Keon
that fifth-year
Coleman,
option.
In fairness, is starting to heat up here the last
no,
week
he is.
Or so.
Keon Coleman, he's, Xavier Worthy, he's got five touchdowns, looks great. A.D. Mitchell, 11 catches, but I look at that quarterback situation right. is a problem with him.
I mean, what we're all describing here is stuff that the Patriots did. We said the exact same thing about the Patriots during their run. Like, oh, these teams, why are you trading them to New England? They're just operating way better than everybody else. The Chiefs are doing the exact same thing. And none of these teams are making trades because they think it's a bad move for the organization. It just, the results aren't, their process is not as good. You know, whether it's the Titans, whether it's the Patriots didn't trade their, you know, Uche because they were like, oh man, you know, we're worried or we're not worried about helping the Chiefs. They did it because they thought this was the best move for their sure. organization going forward.
Yeah, he's there on a 1 year deal. So they're saying he's not going to be here next year. He's not going to come back. He had plenty of opportunities to go elsewhere. And they gave him the benefit of the doubt. They liked the guy. They're like, you know what? We'll send you to Kansas City, see what you can do. We're not going anywhere. But as far as trading with the Chiefs, like, the Steelers actually have a pretty good philosophy. And I know it's frustrating at times. Like, they won't trade the Chiefs. They won't, because they see the Chiefs as a rival, and they should. That's how teams should view them. But I get it. If you're in Buffalo, you have to be frustrated with making those moves with the Chiefs. Let's not forget, Baltimore did business with the Chiefs as well. The Orlando Brown, and then Chiefs got pick 58, which turned into Nick Bolton. Yeah. So even the rivals have really helped the Chiefs get to where they are. Teams like the Steelers won't do it, and I respect that.
That's why the whole narrative of, like, teams just won't trade with Kansas City, though, I call BS on that. We've seen teams, you just laid out the Ravens, you just laid out other contenders. If a team thinks a trade will make them better, they will make the trade no matter who it is within reason. I know there's some divisional trades that teams won't do, but I give credit to teams like the Lions and Vikings, who a couple years ago were willing to trade. TJ Hockenson got traded from Detroit to Minnesota, worked out for them. I know he's been hurt this year. He's actually active finally this weekend.
I was shocked at that,
actually. And the Lions got Sam Laporta, and obviously that's worked out well for them. So it was a trade that benefited both, even though it was an inter-division trade. All right, thinking of some of the contenders in the AFC, I want to go back and look preseason who the favorites were for the Super Bowl and how we view some of these teams now. We could also just look at the odds, but how we viewed them. So before the season started, these were the six teams with the best odds to win the Super Bowl. Some of them are still in play. Some of them we probably feel differently about. So here were the odds favorites back in August. The 49ers, and the Chiefs had the two best odds. Then the Ravens, Bills, Lions, and Cincinnati Bengals. Those were the six teams with the best odds. Now, I'll tell you real quick, the teams with the six best odds are the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Lions, the Niners, the Bills, and believe it or not, the Philadelphia Eagles. That's where it's at. Obviously, there's Cincinnati's not there. They were there earlier on in the season. The order of some of these has changed. The big surprise now suddenly is that Philadelphia has the six best odds to win it, and they were not there originally. But real quick, I want to run through some of these teams, and how do you feel about each one? So the 49ers, who are still with the fourth best odds at plus 750. What's your vibe on the 49ers right now? Christian McCaffrey reportedly could be back next week. We know Ayuk, though, is done for the season. We just saw them play the Chiefs. It is clearly not the same 49ers team, though. But if McCaffrey comes back, do you think they get back to that level?
No, I don't. And it's because it's the system in play. And I know Christian McCaffrey had a great year last year, but Jordan Mason has come off and have a good year. It's plug and play with guys on the team. And Isaac Arendo, that they have as a rookie on that team, the fourth round pick, has shown a lot when he's got his chance to be a star in San Francisco. So, no, I don't think it much different. What I think hurt him was when Debo was kind of going through his deal and was in the hospital. You know, he's back now, then he's hurt again. But Juwan Jennings being down for him, I mean, there's been a lot of things start to affect the 49ers, and I don't think their defense is anywhere near the level it was when D'Amico Ryans was there.
What about the Baltimore Ravens? They still are right up there on the odds chart. Second best odds, plus 650. I mentioned preseason, they have the third best odds. What has changed is the number one seed, as we already said, is not in play for them, and that the Steelers are better than we all thought. So that division, the path isn't as clear. But if we were worried that Lamar Jackson was going to fall off a cliff or that Derrick Henry would be old and washed up, neither of those things have happened. What's different about them is that defense is not anywhere near what it was. So that's where it's changed. Offense is better than I thought it would be, but their defense is way worse. So they are still one of the three or four best teams in football, absolutely. So in that same criteria, and they can still win a game or two in the playoffs, but they haven't elevated their stock as much as they could have because of their defense. If their defense was even middle of the road, then we'd be talking about them being the biggest challenge and probably the Super Bowl favorite, honestly.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's a good football team, but they have taken a step back on that defensive side of the ball, and that's the part when you start to get into January and you start rolling into the playoffs, you've got to perform on defense. What the Chiefs did, carried them to a Super Bowl win, and that's the thing. Like, if you don't have those offensive stars, you've got to start relying heavily on your defense. They are interesting. I never bought into the Derrick Henry's washed. I thought that would actually really improve the best running team in the NFL.
He's been great.
Because it's the system in place, too, because Baltimore is good at running the football. It doesn't matter who's there. It's kind of what they do. It's kind of their MO. This is a team that set the NFL rushing record a couple years ago for a team, and they're always the league leader as far as running is concerned. So that part doesn't concern me because that's who they are. It's like Frisco. It's who they are. It's their system that's more important than their players.
The Lions had the fifth best odds preseason to win the Super Bowl. They now have the third best odds at 7-1. How do you view them now? Because Jared Goff is once again playing at an extremely high level. Ben Johnson did not leave the organization. That offense is still rolling. David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporte. I mean, they look dominant on offense yet again. Their defense is slightly improved. It's kind of the opposite, like we were just mentioning with the Ravens. I think the Detroit Lions, my favorability, you know, view of them to win a Super Bowl has only gone up as the season has continued. I had questions heading into this year if they could stand pat there in the NFC North with Jordan Love and the Packers, and obviously a lot of people were high on the Chicago Bears coming into the season, but the Detroit Lions have shown, I think, pretty clearly they're the best team in that division. They're the best team in the NFC.
It's that coaching staff. It's the system. It's Ben Johnson, one of the most creative offensive coordinators in the NFL, to be honest with you. One of two teams in the NFL actually averaging over 30 points a game. Jared Goff, to me, that's the MVP. Like, if he had an MVP vote right now, it'd be Jared Goff. I mean, what he did a couple weeks ago, when he went 18 of 18, and it wasn't like he was dinking and dunking. He was throwing down the field. He's playing very consistent football, but the system in place, the creativity that they have on offense, kind of sets them apart. Like, they're playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers in the NFC.
How about Cincinnati? They have the sixth best odds to win the Super Bowl preseason. They're all the way down to 40-1 now. They're behind teams like Atlanta and Pittsburgh and Washington and Houston and Minnesota. I can go on and on and on. Way down the list, I'm assuming your view on them is completely different than what it was preseason.
It is, but it's kind of what they do. The slow starts are to be expected by Cincinnati. Gosh, they've lost so many close games, too. But defensively, they've taken a step back. Still, they have the talent on defense. You look at Cam Taylor-Britt. If he'd stop talking and just worry more about playing, he could be good. Logan Wilson, love him traveling around a linebacker. They've got to win, what, 7 of the next 9 games to be in it. Offensively, a very good team. Defensively, they have the system in place to do it, but they've been bad the last couple of years. But I love the defensive line. I love Hubbard on one side and Trey Hendrickson on the other. Those early season losses just hurt him so much at this point. I don't see a lot in the postseason.
T. Higgins can't stay healthy for another season.
Last
team is Buffalo. They had the 4th best odds to win the Super Bowl preseason. They have the 5th best odds to win the Super Bowl right now, which is kind of interesting. It says more about Detroit and Baltimore, I think. Bills sitting at 9-1. Buffalo's only increased to me how we should feel about them. I mean, we were talking about the number one seed conversation. It's them and the Chiefs. They're going to win their division. They add Amari Cooper. Josh Allen's still playing great. In fact, he's playing better because he's not turning the ball over right now. That is to me why I view Buffalo more favorably now than I did in week one.
And then one thing about Buffalo is they're winning because of Josh Allen. You know, statistically, they're, what, 16th in the NFL in points against, which is not typically where Buffalo is. Not only that, people like to criticize the Chiefs' offense. The Chiefs are actually ahead of the Bills by 2 spots as far as scoring per game. So they're doing it, but Josh Allen makes a difference because that's Josh Allen. I still think they have coaching issues with Sean McDermott as far as carrying that team. I think they should make that switch. McDermott's been good enough to get him there. But, again, you had to have the quarterback, which they do.
Isn't the coach rankings for the 6 teams I mentioned pretty easy to do? Like, if we were to rank out number 1, Andy Reid. Number 2, I'd put Kyle Shanahan. Number 3, maybe you have Harbaugh ahead of him. But I would go Reid, Shanahan, Harbaugh. Then I would go Dan Campbell. Then I would go McDermott. Then I go Zach Taylor out of the 6 teams we just talked about. Do you disagree, or would you have Harbaugh higher than Shanahan?
At this point, Shanahan.
Okay.
I think, well, but he's dealing with all those injuries and still finding a way to do it. Kyle Shanahan's good enough to get you there. We've all seen that. Like, he's good. He's got that championship swagger. He's always in the NFC title game. He's had his bad luck against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl or the Chiefs in general, but really everybody has at that point. I think those are pretty accurate coach rankings.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll be joined by Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor for Chiefs on SI. We'll get his perspective on the Bucs game on Monday night, where things are at injury-wise for the Chiefs, and if another move happens before Tuesday's trade deadline in the NFL. We mentioned to start the show that Drew was here last night hosting After Hours. He was solo right here on 96.5 The Fan. Hopefully he had a chance to catch the show. I received a text. I'll admit, Drew, I listened to a brief period when I was in my car, and then I was watching Thursday Night Football, and so I was not listening. But I got a text from your producer last night.
Julio?
Julio. I'll read you the text specifically from him.
Yeah, when Julio's like E.F. Hutton, when he talks, you listen.
Hey, he said, just thought you both should know. Drew just said his worst nightmare is clowns. Clowns.
Yep.
We didn't know. We've learned a lot about Drew in the last week or so. We learned he can beatbox, Spink. I don't know if you found that out last week.
He's very good at that, yeah.
He's very good at that. And now clowns, really? So you're telling me, now we know for a future bet. You're telling me that if all of a sudden a clown just slowly creeped up behind you in studio, we would get a great reaction on video? Because one of these days now, I feel like that has to happen without you knowing. Why was there a traumatic experience as a child? Were you watching, what's the movie with, oh my gosh.
Fang?
No.
You mean It?
Like
Pennywise?
Thank you.
No, I don't know if there's necessarily a traumatic experience. I don't like clowns. I loved going to the circus when I was a little kid because of the animals. I loved seeing the animals. The clowns, though, I would stay up. My mom was like, you would stay away from, you wanted nothing to do with the clowns at all. If a clown were to, see, I guess, if you really want to do something, I would get, it'd be in this studio.
That's what I'm saying.
I feel like I can't
walk in. You're talking to us, and all of a sudden, this clown slowly comes up behind you. Would you scream?
I don't think I would scream. I would probably yell an expletive, and then I'd get the hell out. I'd do everything I could possible.
Would you punch the clown?
If I have to, yes. If I have to throw a punch, then...
Have you ever punched the clown?
No, because thankfully I...
Look, I don't like... I don't like clowns, but it sounds like you're like flat-out terrified.
I think a lot of people don't like clowns, and they did have a clown convention in this town a couple years ago. Again, clowns
aren't
funny.
Punishment where I would be in hell if I had to go. I would be...
I'm with you. That's a good take. That's a good take.
I would be so nervous.
It's a good take. Who are you more afraid of? Like if a snake it was in your apartment, or if a clown came out underneath your couch, which one are you more scared of?
Clown, 100%. 100%.
I mean, a human being coming out of your couch would be creepy. I don't care what the person
was
wearing.
A damn, like, anaconda or something like
clowns
that.
Are,
then
clowns
no.
are weird, man. You know, here's the one thing. I've never liked clowns or those people that come to your table and want to do tricks and make balloon animals for you.
A clown?
I have punched one of those guys. It's like, man, what? Dude, I'm trying to have dinner. Get away here.
You punch someone at dinner?
It's like a clown. They're making balloon animals. Like, who cares, man? Go away. I don't need a balloon giraffe. Just, and I'm not tipping you. Just leave.
No. So, I mean, I've watched it, like Stephen King's It, because my wife wanted me to watch it. There's moments, like if I watch a scary movie during the scary, like I can tell a scary part's coming. I'm not watching. I like look at the ground. I want nothing to do with it. I'll pull out my phone. I'll find
what
any
about
excuse.
Like A Quiet Place? Have you seen that movie or those movies?
Oh, hell no. No.
No, really?
Okay. I am not a scary movie person at all.
But you know what? The clown phobia is pretty common. No. A lot of people hate clowns. They really do. Ask the text line.
Hate clowns.
I mean, I don't like them. There's some people that are flat out
terrified.
There's
no purpose in them.
Yeah,
they're not funny.
When I was little, the clown from the movie Air Bud scared me. Remember the guy that like is his dog and like he's abusive to the dog, but he dresses 100%. Up as a clown or whatever. That clown that scared the hell out of me.
Punchable
but I was also
right
like
there,
eight, I was 9 years old when Air Bud came out or something.
I mean, I respect rodeo clowns. I mean, they have a tough job, but why do you have to dress like a clown?
Any clowns? Nope.
Why do rodeo clowns hop in the barrel, whatever, with the bull coming at them?
Doesn't it?
Like, why
form
do they
as
have to be
dist-
clowns? It's, I think like, it's not funny.
I think it's a distraction to get the other people out safe.
So bulls don't like clowns.
I think
they probably don't like them either.
I think it's the bright colors and stuff, isn't it? I don't know. I thought that was what it was.
No, there is a funny video of LaMelo Ball was scared by a clown for this Halloween. First thing he did, blank, punched him in the head or whatever.
Good.
Yeah, 100%. That would be. I wouldn't be like. I wouldn't like cry or anything like. I wouldn't do that. But I would do everything in my power to get the heck away from that clown. 100%. I don't like it.
Well, we got some good knowledge. Now we have that in our back pocket.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that on the air yesterday.
I know that he.
Oh, and look, here comes a clown.
I knew that he would text you. You know why I knew that he would text you? Because he asked me, he goes, do Alex and Cody know about this? I said, no. And as soon as I said that, I was like, I know Julio is going to reach out about this, and you guys are going to find out one way or another.
I had it on the rundown as soon as I heard it. I was like, Drew hates clowns. Nah, it's a great take, by the way.
Mm-mm.
Someone brought up a video. They said DeJuan Harris, who, of course, plays for Kansas basketball, punched Coach Q, who's on the staff. That was not a clown, though. That was a like a Sasquatch or some type of... I don't know if you know what video I'm talking about. They put out a video yesterday.
Those videos of players
walking up to the facility, and then one of the coaches on the staff was dressed up. I can't remember exactly. He wasn't dressed up as a clown, but he scared some of the players, and one of them took a swing.
It should be legal to punch a clown. Honestly.
Somebody said
Drew likes them.
If Drew doesn't like clowns, then why does he like Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow's not a clown.
Up next, it's a good note to end the segment on. Thank you for that text. I'm glad you read that. I didn't even have to read that one. Up next, let's talk some Chiefs football. Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor for ChiefsOnSI.com, will join us. We'll ask him about Juju Smith-Schuster and what to expect against the Bucs on Monday night.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.